to worry, and don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning, troubles they don't last always. For there is a friend named Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. You don't have to worry, and don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning, troubles they don't last always. For there is a friend named Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. With Jesus I can take it. With him I know I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. So when your tests and trials, they seem to get you down, and all your friends and loved ones are nowhere to be found, remember there's a friend named Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. With Jesus I can take it. With him I know I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands.
That's right. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's go ahead and sing. I'll be listening as we get ready. We still got a minute or two here.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. For my name, I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening for my name. If my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be right here listening for my name. I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening for my name. For my name, I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening for my name. if my robe is white, when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white, when he calls me, I'll be right here listening for my name. I'll be right here listening, I'll be right here listening, I'll be right here listening for my name. I'll be right here listening, I'll be right here listening, I'll be right here listening for my name.
Amen. Let's go ahead and change over service. We came to hear the word this evening. Amen. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you. And lift it up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your powers and loves as we sing, holy, holy, holy. I am lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy.
You want to see him tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Hope you come to see him.
Amen.
And ready to hear his word. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus. We're going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. I'm going to do like a woman doing with her hair like that. The cord getting in the way. Yeah, you need to show me how is it that you do that. Praise the Lord Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 12. As Brother Wade here is getting my accoutrements ready. All right, I'm ready now. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. It says here, "These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places therein, wherein the nations which ye shall possess served their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills, and under every green tree." Believe that's what the Lord is trying to tell us in this hour to do. Amen. To take out all the things and destroy. They weren't just going to put them up, you know, and hide them up in their basement or in their attic. Amen. But to utterly destroy those things that are hindering your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. "And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire." You almost wonder why the Lord Jesus acted the way he acted when he was in the temple. Well, he was the one who told them to do the act this way. "With fire, and ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God. Verse 5, it says, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes, watch this, to put his name there. Amen. All right, to put his name there. Even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither, to that place, thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your free will offerings and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And there, where? In the place where he put his name. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Praise the Lord. And then quickly, a few chapters over in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 2, the Lord mentions the same thing again. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Amen. So the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow our heads this afternoon. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you once again, thanking you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you, Lord. Father, we just appreciate you, Lord God, and Lord Jesus, many times, Lord God, the things, Father, around us may weary us, Lord, things around the world, Father God. But Lord God Almighty, you ask us, Lord Jesus, to be hidden, Father God, in that place, Lord, where you've placed your name in, Father. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help us this hour, Lord God, to just hide ourselves in you, Father, for just a little while, Lord, as we listen to your word, Lord. Let us, Father God, lay aside the weights and the sins that would so easily beset us and that would hinder us from receiving, Father, a portion from you tonight, Lord. Amen. For Father God, you said that you would be willing to give us, Father. You would want to give us to those that are overcome. You'd want to give of that hidden manna, Lord Jesus. And Father, I believe that this is this manna, Father, that we're partaking of, Heavenly Father. And Lord God, we ask that you'd bless your word. Lord, bless those that are sick amongst us. Strengthen their bodies. Meet every need, Lord God. Whatever the issues may be, Lord, watch over your people and bless them, Lord. And we just commit ourselves now this time into your hands and the service into you. I commit myself into you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this afternoon. Amen. So tonight, I just wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, just some observations in the Word and But I want to call this a hidden life, hidden in the life of his name. Amen. Hidden in the life of his name. How many believe there's life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Praise the Lord Jesus. The demons, they believe that. The devils hear that name and they tremble. Right? And they move in the name of Jesus. Praise God. And so how much more the believer? How much more the believer that they should have life in that name? And everything, and that's what we were reading here, that it was important for God to wherever he would put his name, that's where the people should worship. That's where the people should be at and do and congregate and hear and receive from God wherever his name was at. Praise the Lord Jesus. It was important to him. And so it should be important for us as the people of God. Amen. And so, you know, sometimes there's something about when we hear our own name, you know, for example, if I'm talking to Sister June, God bless you. You see, I'm sure her hearing her name that's something special, Brother Boyd. If I say his name, but you know, for me it's terrible. And I'm so glad that my wife is right there next to me because I have a hard time remembering names. I'll meet you, and then a couple of hours later, I'll forget your name and. And so I'm terrible at it, but I guess it's because, you know, many times when we meet somebody and we're in that process of meeting them and kind of that, you know, we want to look good in front of the person. And then we're not thinking about the name. We're just thinking about making sure that the way we met, everything looked right. Everything was fine. And then we forget that name. And then you see that person a few hours later and no, oh, sorry, what is your name? And it makes you feel dumb. especially when they say your name. Oh my, you feel even more dumb. But it's It's awesome when you, and there's even people who practice this, even in the business world. I mean, the importance of coming to somebody and calling them by their name, right? You get, you get somebody's attention when you say their name, right? But when you just go to them and you say, "Hey man, hey dude, hey girl," you know, "What's up, cuz?" You know, it's not gonna get too much attention. But when you say somebody's name, then you know who you're talking to, and it makes them feel important, ready to listen to what you have to say, right? And how about much more with the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. The name that's above all names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When we say his name, what do you think that's gonna do to him? Amen. It's gotta bring him down on the scene. Amen. It's gotta make him see what my son is wanting to hear. Amen. What does he need? What does she need in this hour? It's not like he didn't know already, but when you say his name, praise God, amen, that just makes him feel special. Praise God that he's ready to do whatever you ask, amen, because you're doing it in his name. Praise the Lord Jesus. So there's power in the name of Jesus, as the song goes. There's power in a name. Praise the Lord. And I hope we never forget that name. If we forget any name, amen, let's not forget the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, you know, when we read, if you read with me in Genesis chapter 1, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, we're going to do a little bit of reading here this evening. And you might wonder, where is this going? But let's just keep going. It says here in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1, "And in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now we see here that God created the heaven and the earth, amen, and the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters. There was nothing at that time. It was just God's Spirit moving upon the face of the waters, amen. It's just like God, and we've mentioned here before, it's just like God when he's moving in your life, when you were out there in the world and didn't know anything about God, and then you come to church and you hear that first sermon, or you hear that the pastor preaching, and it's God moving, amen, in the midst of your waters, amen, because waters represents people in the Bible, amen. If there's other places in Revelation and different places where the waters represents people, so God wants to move in the midst of the waters, of your waters, amen. The problem is sometimes he shakes those waters and we're just there, you know, we don't realize that it's God moving amongst us, amen. Praise God. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Now, when you look at that word light there in the Hebrew, that is the word that means, it means God's own life. Amen. It means the life of God. Because it's not the sun and it's not the moon. Amen. This was few verses before the sun, moon, and stars came to be. Praise God. So this was the life of God. This was the Logos. This was the creative power of God. Amen. That he wanted to share eventually with his own people. Amen. Praise God. And we'll look here in just a little bit at the tabernacle of Moses. Amen. Where he wanted to share his glory with his people. Amen. Praise God. So he said, let there be light. And when God says something, it's got to be. Amen. Brother Branham said that you didn't have to, nobody had to explain that. You didn't have to look at that and figure out what it was. It's just when God said it, it's got to be. Amen. Praise God. There's not that when God says, let there be, it's got to be. Amen. Praise God. And so no matter what your problem is, if God already said it in his word, amen, let there be. Amen. Praise God. If there's a solution to your problem in the word, amen, then just repeat what the word already said about it. Amen. And you watch it, that it will be. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let there be light. And there was light. No interpretation about it. No nothing. And there was light. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. We could talk a lot about that there. But when you come down to verse 9, and in that same chapter in Genesis there, and he says here, "And God said," again, God said, "let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place." Amen. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. Now, we know that he's talking about the physical waters here of earth. Amen. Praise God. But it's interesting that he asks for the waters to be gathered unto one place. Amen. Amen. Where is God going to be gathered? Wherever his name is at. Amen. Unto one place. Praise the Lord Jesus. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. Amen. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And watch, and God saw that it was good. Amen. Amen. Isn't it good when you're dwelling in the presence of the Lord? Amen. Amen. That's why I believe David said, behold, how good and precious it is when brethren are dwelling together in unity. Amen. In unity. Praise God. You know, sometimes we might disagree on different things, and we might have little spats here and there, but ultimately we should have the same goal, amen? And that's Christ Jesus, amen. And that's to come in a full union with him, praise the Lord Jesus. Amen, because I'm ready to get out of here, saints. I don't know about you, I want this body changed. Amen. I'm sick and tired of the way things are going. I'm sick and tired. Amen. Sometimes you feel like just throwing in the towel. Amen. But then something just holds you back. Amen. Something keeps holding you. It says, it's not time yet. Amen. There's still more life that I can give you if you just render your life more to me. And that's the problem with us in this hour, saying that we don't give ourselves fully to him, and he can't show us, and he can't give us what we need for the hour, because we don't give of ourselves like we should. Amen. I'll be the first one to raise my hand on that. He wants to reveal himself more to you, but we don't let him. We don't let him. Amen. But I want that changed, and I hope that you want that changed. Amen. Don't wait till when the new year comes. I'll go ahead. No. Start now. Amen. Start now. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. God is a God of now. Praise the Lord. So when we look back here at the tabernacle of in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and in verse 5, and if the brothers could bring the pictures in, I brought some visuals of the tabernacle. We all know about the tabernacle of Moses. And I love looking at the tabernacle of Moses. There's just so many types there, and you could be here for weeks talking about it. But when we were reading there in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. Praise the Lord Jesus. And so we see, the brothers could pull the pictures up. The first picture, I think it's labeled number one. We see here that God told Moses that to create a tabernacle, right? And it's kind of similar like the one we have out there in the vestibule. And if you read there in Deuteronomy, there's certain dimensions and certain things. It's very, very, very detailed. But what was the whole thing? And you know, sometimes we look at this and we're like, oh my, that just looks so complicated. And it just to study and read all those boring verses about the dimensions and things like that. But let me tell you what, saints, to all that, that all has a purpose. And it's very important to God. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the Word. Amen. And so it was very important. And if it wasn't done exactly the way it needed to be done, that glory, amen, wouldn't come down. Praise God. It had to be exactly, and it had to be done exactly the way God showed Moses. Praise God. And so that was where God was going to put his name. And that was the provided place of worship for the people at that time. Praise the Lord Jesus. And so if we could go to the next picture. we see that it had different structure, different three parts. Brother Branham called this a three room house. You see? And it had the outer court, and then it had the where you had the I can't read that up there. Where it had the brazen altar, it had the laver, and then, of course, it had the holy place, right? And that's where you had different pieces of furniture there. You had the candlesticks, you had the golden altar, and you had the table of showbread. But then there was another little room, amen, in the back that nobody really noticed. Nobody really paid attention to, amen. Everybody was at all with everything that was going on outside. And maybe those that could get into the holy place, see what was going on in there. But where God really wanted to meet them is in that back room, amen. And that was the Holy of Holies. Praise the Lord Jesus, because saints, it's very easy. And you know, this types perfectly with the stature of a perfect man. Amen. Amen. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you can see there are multiple baby form of justification, baby form of sanctification as you go in. Amen. Because even as you're walking in, you see how at the beginning, there had to be a brazen altar where they had to put a lamb. They had to sacrifice. They provided a lamb. Somebody would go every year. Amen. And they would provide a lamb or a piece of an animal to the priest, and they would say, "Here's my lamb," and they would offer it. They would sacrifice it. They would cut the lamb, drain the blood, and once a year they'd take that blood in that charger, and that blood was what they would go through to the Holy of Holies. Amen. To sprinkle that blood on that mercy seat. Amen. But right there is where they would sacrifice that lamb. And that lamb represented that lamb took my place for my sins. You see? Praise the Lord Jesus. And so once the sinner could provide that lamb, and the priest did what he was to do, that sinner could go back and be justified for another year. Amen. It wasn't full justification, because the full justification doesn't come until the Lord Jesus Christ, you see? Praise God. But now the laver is where the priest, after he had gotten all bloodied up and after all he's gotten all that blood all over his hands, he'd have to go in and wash his hands and his feet inside that laver. And when you look at it in the temple of Solomon, it was almost like a place where they actually dipped themselves in. And so it types many different things, and we'll look at it here in just a moment. But you see, it was important for them to follow those things in order for them to come to the next phase of their life, of their walk. You see, those priests couldn't go in there in that holy place without washing themselves first. The Bible says that if they did, it would be immediate death. Immediate death just to go without being washed or without being clean in the holy place, without it being the Holy of Holies. Just to go in the holy place. So saints, that is kind of like our Christian walk. You see the people come in, you're excited about God, and you hear that wonderful repentance message. Kind of like our young people when they go to youth camps and they hear, you know, wonderful messages about repentance, and you get down on that altar and you cry and you say, "Lord, forgive me for my sins." And it's like you right there providing that lamb. Amen. And that but of course that lamb has already been provided for you. Praise God. And so there now you've been justified. Praise the Lord. And as you're walking, and now you can be sanctified there within the laver. Praise the Lord Jesus. And so, but now it's not just being justified and sanctified, because sanctification is a very delicate spot for you to be in. And I'm afraid that many Christians are just stuck on that laver. They're right there stuck on that ladder, just continuing to wash their hands. And you know, they don't smoke anymore. They don't look at pornography anymore. They don't listen to bad music anymore. You know, they stop their lying. They stop their cheating. But they don't get into the Word. Amen. Right. Amen. Right. To get into the Holies of Holies. Right. There's a furtherance in the walk. Amen. Oh, no, the preacher can do that, you know. My pastor, he'll feed me every Wednesday and every Sunday. Well, what about you? Remember, God can only meet with you in that place of worship where his name is at. And it's all the people that had to be there. It wasn't just for the priests. Amen. It was for everybody, the whole congregation. God was wanting to meet with everybody. Praise God. Amen. So so there's a next picture right here. The next one, brothers. This is kind of like a top view of the tabernacle. There's the altar of burnt offerings, the bronze laver. And so to me, now this is me. You know, many people have come into the message and they've come into the holy place. Right? You got the candlesticks, you know, you've got the table of showbread, you see? And it's very interesting that bronze laver out on the outside, on the outer court, and the golden lampstand were the only two pieces of furniture that didn't have a measurements on it. God told them to put certain measurements of every other piece of furniture except for those two. And those two have to do with cleansing. Amen. Have to do with sanctification. Because in that golden lampstand, you see, it was oil that needed to be placed in that golden lampstand. And what does the oil represent? The Holy Spirit. What cleanses you when you're walking in this life? Amen. It's got to be the oil of the Holy Ghost. The Word, the water of the Word. And that's where the bronze laver kicks in. You get all those types there. You see? And so it's a constant sanctification of your life. Because even when the priests were out there and they washed their hands and their feet on the outer court, inside there still had to be sanctification to continuing on. They still had to eat of Christ. Amen. The broken bread. Amen. From the table of showbread that was inside. Representing justification. The altar of incense. You still have to pray. Amen. You still have to get down on your own. Well, I've been a Christian for 10, 15, 20 years. I don't need to pray anymore. You need to pray more now than ever. Praise God. Now that you're drawing closer, especially, that's why the Lord Jesus said, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. In other words, you're getting closer to that body change. You need to be more in prayer even now. And we fail in that. We fail in that so much. And that's where the altar of incense was at. The altar of incense wasn't on the outer court. It was inside the holy place. Amen. But then some people, especially people around the message, they're comfortable in that holy place. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know the church ages. I know the doctrines and everything that's in there. I know exactly everything. Yeah. And yet still fail to go into the holies of holies. They think that they have had an experience with God, and yet they haven't had an experience with God. Because there's still a little spot in their life that they haven't come to fully. Amen. They haven't fully given themselves over. Amen. So that God, amen, so that they can go into that holies of holies. Amen. And in the holies of holies is where the glory of God would come down. Yes. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, just some quick things in regards to that bronze laver. We already talked about it, but that was where the priests would wash themselves. Remember, that bronze laver was on the outer court. Represents sanctification. Represents water baptism in the name, right? In the name. And you know, just thinking about the saints, that's the reason, young people, we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because a name has a nature to it, amen, attached to it. So when you're baptizing yourself in the name, when you're being baptized in the name, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're being baptized in his nature, amen, in the power of that name. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. There's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a nature that comes with the name. Praise God. Amen. You see, there's a nature that comes with the name. That's why Brother Branham said many times, you know, don't call your kid Elvis. Don't call your kid, don't name your kid this, because there's a nature that goes with names. You see? There's spirits that go with names. And with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what you get is the Holy Spirit. Amen. You get the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So then when men enter from the outer court to the holy place, we enter into the nature of Christ. Amen. That's why we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Now, in the holy place, it's a higher form of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we hear the altar of incense, prayer, eating of the word, the table of showbread. And then, of course, you have to continue to let your light shine there in the... Oh, no, I already know the message. No, but you still have to let your light shine. Amen. Amen. You still have to let your light shine.
Amen.
The lampstand, and of course, we just talked about the lampstand and the bronze altar not having measurements there. Praise God. Now, let's talk about this Holy of Holies here for just a moment, because it was a little unnoticeable room that the people on the outside from the entrance of the tabernacle couldn't see because there was a veil there.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Oh, they could see everything else. They could see the goal towards, but there was that little hidden room. Amen.
Amen.
Where only the high priest could go. And so now the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, he's made us all priests and kings before him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You have no excuse now not to go into that Holy of Holies. You must go into that Holy of Holies. And we know it's not a physical place that you go into. Amen. But it's in the name. Amen. It's a spiritual thing in this hour. Praise the Lord Jesus. We've got to enter in. If you want power in your life, if you want healing in your life, if you want overcoming power in your life, you've got to be in that presence constantly. Amen. And we fail. We fail so many times to stay in that presence. You know, when the priest would go back in there during that time, eventually he would be in that presence, sprinkle the blood, and he would see the different things that were back there, which we will talk here in just a moment. The Aaron's rod and the manna that never spoiled. But eventually he would have to step back out. He would have to step back out and then go back in a year later. And it would be like that. Step back out and go back in a year later. Step out of that presence and go back in a year later. Amen. But see, the believer in this hour doesn't have to do that in this hour. Amen. You can always be in that presence. Amen. If you want to. Because he's already done all the work. Amen. You don't have to do nothing else but bask in that presence. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. And so we know that in the holies of holies, that's where the Ark of the Covenant was at. And you can go into many details with that. But in there you had the manna that did not spoil. Now at the beginning, when the children of Israel left Egypt, God was raining manna upon them. And the manna would fall outside of that tabernacle, would fall inside, but at some point, God told Moses to place some of that original manna that fell and place it in that Holy of Holies. And so in outside of that tabernacle, or outside of that Holy of Holies, that manna would spoil. That's the reason why every morning they would have to go and get new manna. Amen. That's the reason why we shouldn't just be satisfied with just one experience with God, or two experiences with God, or three experiences with God, but every day, amen, have an experience with God. How can you have an experience with God? Get in the Word. Read the Word. Pray. It's not literal picking up of manna, but it's a spiritual thing in this hour. And I'm going somewhere with this, so you just hang on. Amen. So they would have to go, and in that Holy of Holies, there was that original manna that had fallen. And you know what? In that presence, that original manna never spoiled. Never. The high priest would go in there every year, and it'd be the same original manna that he had eaten, and it was just as sweet, just as good as it had fallen the first time. Amen. Let me ask you this, saints. Is the Word of God just as sweet to you and just as fresh and just as good to you as the first day you heard it?
Amen.
Amen? Or is it just boring? Or is it just dull? Oh, that brother just can't preach me happy. Amen. But you got to have the happy inside of you. Amen. Have the happy inside of you. Then, amen, you can say amen to the Word. But if you don't have the happy inside of you, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, how are you going to get excited about a preacher up here doing all kinds of things and all kinds of stuff? We can't do it if you don't have the happy in you. Amen. Praise God for the happy preacher, but get the happy man inside of you. Amen. Be happy about Christ. Be happy about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're happy about other things. We're happy about our cars, and we're happy about our jobs, and we're happy about all kinds of other things. But we when it comes to God, amen, we get, oh, it's so boring and so dull. Saints, we've got to be abiding in that holy of holies. Amen. Abiding. Amen. What did Jesus say? If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you. See, at that point, at that time, it was a one-way street. Now it's Jesus, amen. He's not just amen. You wanting to abide in him. Now he wants to abide in you. Amen. It's a two-way thing now. He wants to dwell in you. He wants to live in you. He wants to talk to you. Through you. He wants to listen through you. Praise God. Sometimes we get so carnal. Amen. And we just allow our carnality to come out. I'll be the first one to raise my hands. Because maybe we haven't been in that presence the way we need to be. Amen. Praise God. But in that holy of holies, amen, that manna never spoiled. Amen. They could go back there, and the priest could see that the manna was still falling around him. Amen. And that manna would spoil for the next day. Amen. Before the day was over. But he knew in the back of his mind, he knew that there's original manna behind there, behind that holy of holies that never spoils. Amen. Letting us know, amen, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Now, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, I'm trying to move here a little quickly. And he that hath an ear, the brothers don't have this back there, but I'll read it here. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth. Amen. God speaking about the hidden manna. And this manna back here behind in the Holy of Holies, it was a hidden manna. Right? It was a hidden manna. And it was right there in that place where God chose to put his name in. Right? And that's where the people needed to worship at. And so it's so interesting that in Revelation chapter 2, it says, and in this, that he will give of the hidden manna to those that overcome. Amen. Or him that has an ear, let the Spirit saith unto the church, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. In other words, if it's a hidden manna, that means it's a manna that never spoils. It's not the manna that they would get outside of the court. It's an eternal manna. Amen. Which can only be produced by God himself, who is eternal. And in the stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving to him that receiveth. I don't know what that new name is other than, I'm sure it's got to be tied with God himself. Amen. Because it's interesting that God would say, I will meet you there and I will place my name there. And that's where you're going to worship. Praise God. Now, Brother Branham says here in the message, A Hidden Life in Christ. And if you want to read a really good message and listen to a really good message, listen to that message. He says here, my burdens are light. Yoke up with him. The yoke is all padded with hallelujahs. When you're once inside the veil with him, he becomes your life. If you could just once get in there, young people, if you could just really get in there and not just be on the outside of the outer court, praise God, hallelujah, and just shouting and leave it at that. No. Amen. Get there and make it to where I got to reach that holy of holies. Amen. I've got to reach a place in my life where really a change is taking place in my life. Because let me tell you, sometimes we do those things and we get excited about God, but things aren't changing in our lives. We're still doing the same worldly things, and we're still... you had this thing tied up back here. I got to take this thing off. I'm getting hot. Maybe. Hold on a second. We'll get it. There we go. All right. All right. All right. I lost my train of thought now. Sometimes we get into ruts in our life, you see? All right? And it's not from one revival to the other, Brother Branham said. Man, but it's got to be a life, saints. It's got to be something constant. And that's what I desire the most. Amen. It's a constant life. Now, Brother Branham continues saying here, the prophet said that in the people of the old days said, I, that he would write his laws anew. He would put them in their heart. Now, Mount Sinai was a place of duty, but Mount Calvary was a place of grace. Amen. People are still trying to live on Mount Sinai, in other words, with do's and don'ts. And if I'll go to church, if I'll pay my dues, if I'll do this or that, or if I'll quit this and stop that, that's still on Mount Sinai. That's still you trying to do something. When you come to a place where you are dead and your life is hid in God through Christ, sealed by the Holy Ghost, the whole Christian life becomes a great glorious shout and a hallelujah to you. And watch, and you're hid away daily. Not yearly. Amen. You're hid away daily. Now we notice that once in there, he, speaking of the high priest, he was isolated from the world. The curtains dropped around him, and he was hid away with God. Everything become real, a glory. In this place where we once get hid away with Christ, everything becomes a new thing to us then. Amen. The key thing is to get hid away. Now, even when the high priest would go in behind that Holy of Holies, he couldn't just go in and just, you know, and just, no. It was a reverent way to go in there. Amen. They had to have a certain walk. Amen. Brother Brandon would say they have to walk a certain walk, crying, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Pomegranates and certain vestures needed to be, amen, on them. They can't just go in behind there and then just spread the blood. No. Amen. I'm afraid too many people sometimes, that's how we come to the presence of God. Amen. Just any old way. Just anything, and God will just accept me. Amen. Amen. When in your heart, it's really not there for, you're really not really wanting to serve God with all your heart. Amen. But the high priest, in order for him to be able to make the atonement for all the people for that year, amen, he had to go in a specific way and with a specific walk and in the right vestures and in the right mind, frame of mind. He couldn't go in sleepy. He couldn't go in tired. He couldn't go in, amen, he had to go in a certain way, crying, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And so, Brother Branham, and so when he would go back there, the whole world was shut out. Think about it, saints. Nothing of this world was bothering him. The Assyrians were doing their things. The people out there, the other countries were out there doing their things. China was doing this. The President Biden doing this. And it didn't matter to him. He didn't care. He was in the presence of God. he was enthralled in that presence, doing what he was supposed to do. From the outer court, from the entrance of the outer court, amen, he knew that that day when he had to go do that, that was his goal. That was his goal. He was looking towards that mark, amen. He was looking towards that mark. And he needed to make sure that he made it. Praise God. But everything needed to be set in place. Praise God. Now, nowadays, young people, saints, we don't need to do all that. Thank God. Thank God. Because if we needed to, we'd get Bob to do it. He looks more like a high priest. I'm sure the brothers in Ohio are laughing. Because it was something that was very sacred and very dangerous, scary. You had to be anointed to be a high priest. Praise God. Make sure that everything was in that. But thank God, Jesus Christ become our high priest. And he went in once behind that veil, and amen, after that, that veil, amen, was torn, and now we can go in freely anytime we want to. We want to. The problem is that just like those Jews, amen, they started sewing that veil back up. And so we sew our, that veil, that connection with God, by everything else around us. And then we're wondering, why are we dying spiritually? Why can't I connect with God the way I need to? Amen. But you're the one who sewed a veil of something in your life. You got your own human veil between you and God. And it's not God's fault. God's ready to meet you back there. He's already done everything that he's supposed to do. Now it's you got to tear that thing out of your life. That's the reason why he told them at the beginning there, when we were reading, he said, tear down all the altars. Tear down all those things. Get rid of the weights and the sins that so easily beset you. Praise God. And then worship in the place where I've placed my name in. Praise God. So that life of God dwelt in that Holy of Holies. And we see in 1 Kings chapter 9 that that name of God was transferred over to Solomon's temple. You can read there in that verse, it says, and the Lord said unto him, unto Solomon after he had prayed, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever. Watch, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Amen. Perpetual means forever. Right. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But we know, saints, that this was just the next transition after the tabernacle of Moses. Right. It was still a physical king building. Right. And it wasn't really the perfect will of God. Because that's not where God didn't want to just dwell in Solomon's temple. Right. Amen. After that, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? God dwelled in him. Amen. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. But he still wasn't satisfied with that. Praise God. It was God dwelling in that tabernacle. Of the tabernacle of Jesus. Didn't look just like a common man. Didn't appear anything special. Other than when he spoke. And when he and his deeds. Amen. But other than that, he looked just like a common, regular man. But when, amen, after he died, rose and come down in the form of the Holy Ghost, that was his perfect will then. Amen. That's exactly what he wanted. That's why it's a two-way street now. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, then ask what you will. Praise God. So whose heart and whose eyes is he using now? Because in that verse we were just reading, it says to put my name there forever and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. So whose eyes and his whose ears, who's he using now? I think I'm looking at those eyes. I'm looking at those ears. I'm looking at those hands. Praise God. The bride of Jesus Christ. You believe that? Amen. Praise God. So his name was in Christ, but now his name is in... But his name is in his bride. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. His bride, amen, doesn't have a name of her own. Doesn't care to have a name of her own. She only takes his name. Because that is where God chose to bless his people. Under his name. Praise God. So in John 15:5 we read, I am the vine, ye are the branches. You can read the whole John chapter 15. It's wonderful. But just this portion here. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Amen. When that high priest would go back there in the Holy of Holies, there was that rod of Aaron there as well. We just talked about the manna, right? But there was that rod of Aaron there as well. Now the rod of Aaron, when it was at one point, it was all dry. As it was going through the outer court, it was dry and you know, a rod in the Bible represents a power, right? Amen. It's like a power, right? But that Aaron's rod, I mean, it was getting wasted. It was drying up, right? Because it was plucked up from the tree. It wasn't connected to a tree anymore. Going through the outer courts, when the priest was taking it to take it back to the holies of holies, or Moses to place it back there, it was probably dry. It was probably dead. Same thing was through the holy place. It was still dry. It was still dead. Amen. But once it got to that holy of holies, it wasn't even connected to a physical tree. And when the priest would go back there, he could see that this rod was budding leaves, had flowers, and it had fruit on it. It had almonds on it. Now, how could that be? It wasn't even connected to a tree. But yet it was, because it was the tree of life. Amen. That's the reason why it was budding. Amen. Because in that presence, let me tell you, that's what Jesus said right here. He said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, then you shall give forth a lot of fruit. Praise God. You will produce a lot of fruit because that's you abiding in that holy of holies. That's you abiding in him constantly. How could you be reading his word? And coming to church and listening to the word and you not give forth good fruit? It's impossible. If you've truly been in that presence, you've got to give forth fruit. Now, Jesus said that some would give 50-fold, some give with 70-fold, some would give 80-fold, some 100-fold. Amen. But you're going to give fruit. Amen. And even an old dead stick was able to give fruit, physical fruit. How much you and I, young saints, amen. If we get into Christ, amen, we can give forth fruit, amen. The fruit we desire, amen. The fruit that we really want, amen. He wants you to give forth fruit. But get your dry ideas out. Get your all dry stick and you're all dry and everything is ho-hum and we're going back to church, another service. Oh, and amen. When you get out of that, then you can give forth fruit. Amen. Other than that, it'll just be a dead stick in the outer court. Oh, but it's got Aaron's name on it. I'm under this message. I listened to the prophet, Brother Branham's message, and it's not about Brother Branham. It's about the Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ is the name that he wants you to be under. Many people listen to Brother Branham. Brother Branham can't change you, but the word he preached can. Praise the Lord, because that is anointed. Amen. Praise God. So it's a spiritual thing. You know, saints, that the new birth is really something that you really can't explain. You think about it. Jesus said that the wind bloweth and it cometh and you don't know where it comes or where it's. And he said that is the same thing with the spirit of God. You don't know where it comes. You don't know where. Amen. That it's a new birth. The new birth is something that you really can't explain. I mean, you know your experiences. That's the physical results of your experience. But it's a constant thing that you really can't explain it. You have to experience it for yourself. You really do. Experience the new birth for yourself. And you can experience change in your life. Amen. Amen. And the new birth will always take you to the Word. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You can only be born by the new, by the Amen. Word. Amen. Amen. So let me hurry up. All right. So nowadays, saints, we know as we were looking at the tabernacle, it's not a physical place. God is not interested in dwelling in a physical place. A lot of people in this message, they want to make it a physical place. They want to make it, if you're not in a certain city, you can't get the blessings of God. If you're not in your house, you can't get the blessings of God. Or if you're not doing this, that, or the other, they got to make it something carnal, something physical, in order for you to get the blessings. I mean, we've heard all kinds of things. An airplane, you got to be in Arizona, you got to be, and it's none of that. Amen. None of it. Because if it was something physical, God might as well have just kept the tabernacle from the beginning. That was working just fine. So why take away what was working? But you see, God, amen, was evolving, I guess you could say. Amen. I don't believe in evolution, but God was evolving himself, making himself better, amen, to where now he's abiding in you and I, abiding in a people, praise God. So, you know, even the woman at the well, when Jesus would talk to her, she said, they told us that in this mountain we were to worship, or here in Jerusalem. And he said, woman, in neither one of those places. He said, it's not here or there. Amen. But those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And you can't explain a spirit. You can't explain those things. That's the reason why the new birth is so mysterious, but yet it's real. That's why you've got to experience it for yourself. Amen. And until you experience it for yourself, amen, then you really won't know what it's all about. Praise God. Now, Brother Branham says here in the message, being led of the Holy Spirit, I want to talk about the tent here for just a moment. Oh, don't get scared now. Brother Branham talked about it, so it was his vision. He says here, Brother Brown says here, and just then, now I want you to watch this and listen how it is now. This is 1956. So you watch the difference. Then I heard something whipping around. He's talking about that vision that he's seeing. Whir, like that always goes every time we have a healing service. That's just what happens. That's the way it has always sounded. Sounded that way in the bush that time when I heard it. It's always been that way. And I felt it. I heard it. Rather going, moving. And I looked, and here went that real soft light moving away from me and went down and went into that little building. Remember we were talking about in the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. What was behind in the Holy of Holies? There was that light. See? There's God. And then there's something different between the light and the angel. Because he was still here with me, and the light had went into the building, and this angel still speaking behind me, which is a big man, and he said, I will meet you in there. So then I said, I don't understand why in there. He said, watch. And this woman, when she come out of there on the ambulance stretcher, in other words, she went inside that little building, and when she come out, Brother Bram says that she was pushing that stretcher out on the other side. In other words, she went in sick and she came out healed. Right? And she said, the lady asked her said, what happened? She said, I don't know. It just happened. Kind of like the new birth. You just can't explain it. Right? I don't know. It just happened. Amen. She said, I've been in this stretcher, said, I've been down in bed for years, and here come the man out packing his crutches. Amen. I've been in this bad habit for years. I've been doing this, that, and the other for years. But then when he got into that presence, amen, something happened. There was a change. And they asked him what, said he didn't know. And he was coming to the platform to testify, that man. And I said, I don't understand that in there. Brother Branham didn't understand that in there. Now watch. And he says here, and watch. He's always scriptural. He said, did not our Lord say, when thou prayest, be not like the hypocrites that like to make a show? Amen. You see, in the outer court, saints, it was a show there. It was a show. People could see that you were burning your lamb and there was a fire coming up and you could wash your hands and everything like that. Amen. But behind that Holy of Holies, amen, it was a secret thing. Nobody knew what was going on. Did not our Lord say, when you pray, be not like the hypocrites that like to make a show, said, enter into the secret closet, and when you've done so, close the door. Then pray to your Father what seeth in secret, and he that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It's interesting that the angel tells Brother Branham this. Instead of giving him some big mystery secret, he goes back to Matthew about Jesus tells and says, go into your secret closet and in there, amen, pray, and God will meet you there. Right? And then he said, you remember that name that you were hunting that time that you dreamed about. And he's asking Brother Branham that question. And Brother Branham says, I said, yes. Yep. He said, watch. He said, I'll meet you in there. Yep. In what? In that name. Yep. Right. Praise God. And this time, it won't be a public show. Praise God. Now, I don't know all the details about behind this, but all I can see here is that it's secret and yet it's simple. It's not anything complicated. It's something that you should already be doing right now, that I should be doing right now. It's about communion with Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, I'll meet you in there, and this time it won't be a public show. And the vision left me. You see, because Brother Branham, during this time, he was trying to explain that third pull. He was trying to explain those pulls in his ministry. And the angel had told him not to do that. You can't explain it. It has to be manifested. Praise God. Now, God's chosen place of worship, Brother Branham says this, my friends, I don't want to hurt feelings, but I am responsible for a message. And that message is, come out of this mess. And that's what I say to you this evening. Come out of this mess. Physical, spiritual, whatever it is, out of your rut mess, just come out of it. And if I ask you to come out, where am I going to take you to? Would I take you to the Branham Tabernacle? It's as much fault as any of the rest of them. Brother Branham said that himself. But there's one place I can take you to where you're safe and protected from death. Amen. Amen. That's in Jesus Christ. There's that name. God's place of worship. That's the place I'm introducing to you tonight, where God put his name, where he promised he would meet every person that come in there. He would worship with him and feast with him. That's in Christ, not in no church, no tabernacle. Amen. It's in that place. And he said that he would feast with you. What happened in that Holy of Holies? The priest could feast with that manna. Praise God. And he could grow. Amen. As Aaron's rod was budded. Praise God. So what a wonderful thing, saints, that he's got a place where we could worship in this hour. Amen. I hope that you are tired and weary of this world like I'm getting. The more I live and the older I get, the more it becomes like, you know, this place just gets whole. There's nothing here for me. There's nothing here for me. It's so much craziness and so much, amen, that I don't want anything. I don't even want to know anything. Only just him and his glory. Amen. Praise God. I sent my wife something this afternoon, and I thought it was good. I left it there. It was a quote. Somebody said, "The older I get, the more I just want to stay quiet." You know, the older I get, the less you want to talk. You know, because doing this is what gets you in trouble. And Proverbs clearly tells you that. All this, it gets you in trouble. But the older you get and the wiser you become, and as you're looking at things around you, and amen, the less you just want to say. If somebody wants to know something, just ask. I just want to freely just give out my opinions about things, because nobody's interested about my opinions. Amen. Praise God. And if you want to know something, just come and ask me. Praise the Lord. But you just get tired of this world and the way it's going. Amen. But I'm so glad that we have a place that we can hide ourselves in. Amen. And it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. His word never fails, saints. His word never fails. His life is true. And it can be in you. And that rhymes. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Amen. So all you got to do is enter into that haven of rest. Amen. Enter into that haven of rest. Brother Bram says in the message, why are the people so tossed about? He says, oh God, hide me in that place. Hide me over in that place where all the veils will drop. Amen. And I'll see nothing but Jesus himself. I could care less what's happening with Trump. I could care less what's happening with China. I could care less what NASA's doing. I could care less. Amen. God, just hide me in that pavilion. Amen. Praise God. Let every word of man be a lie and God's be the truth. Amen. I don't want to hear, look what he says here, and I'll see nothing but Jesus himself. I don't want to hear the fantastics of the world. I don't care whether they got atomic bombs, whether they got a jet plane, or whether they got a new telescope. I don't care whether the new Chevrolets look better than the Buicks. I could care less. Amen. It doesn't matter. The thing of it is, I'm walking and living with Christ daily, and I've died to self, and the veils are dropped around, and I'm in he, and he in me. Amen. Because that's the only way that I can change the world, is him abiding in me. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. And so that's where we need to be tonight, saints. We need to be abiding in him. Because you know what? Sometimes maybe our life may have been gotten, we may have gotten cold in God. I mean, I've been there. And I've done that, gotten cold, and feels like the those words, that canker worm and that palmer worm, and is eating up at your life spiritually. You see, it is eating up. But you know what the wonderful thing about that is, saints, is that when you read that there in Joel, and we'll read there a little bit, when you read that there, that it eat the canker worm ate up the leaves and ate up the tree. Amen. But it never got to the root. It never got to the root. And that's where the life is. Praise God. And that's where you need to have the Lord Jesus Christ. Because see, the storms of life can batter the ship. Amen. It can batter you physically. You can have problems and you can have all kinds of things. Your children may not be walking the way you would like for them to be. You might be having problems with finances. You might be sick in body. All kinds of things. Amen. But if you've really been in that holy of holies, amen, with Jesus Christ, amen, that cankerworm and Satan and all that cannot eat up at the spiritual root. Amen. You're saved in your soul. Your new birth is in your soul. And I'm so glad it's in your soul, because if it was in my flesh, amen, I'd be dead a long time ago. But it's in your soul. And the canker worm and the palmer worm and all those worms could only eat up to the stump, but it cannot get unto that life. That's the reason why David said that blessed is the man who is planted by the river of life. Amen. By that river. Because those roots are always feeding on the nutrients and the water and the life of that water. That's why, saints, it's so important to be at church. Why Brother Wade talks about coming to church and being so important. Be at church and have your personal time with God as well. Pray, read your Bible every day. Do what you need to do. That's your holy of holies. Amen. Praise the Lord. Joel said in chapter 2, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Amen. And in verse 32 there in that same chapter, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Amen. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Praise the Lord Jesus. So there's power in that name. Amen. In that name, that's where you're going to find, saints. In that name, in that hidden in the life of his name. You want to get back with God? You want to have power in your life? You want to feel like you're not backslidden? I mean, it almost feels like Satan wants to make us feel like every single thing that we do wrong. And oh no, we're just backsliding forever. No. No, the priest could go behind there every single year. Amen. And there was always an opportunity. There was always a chance. I always said, if you're sucking breath, if you're sucking air, amen, you got a chance. You got a chance. God's not through with you. Young people, God is not through with you. The problem is how bad do you want that life? How bad do you want it? Or is the world more attractive to you? Because that life will die. That life is temporal. Amen. How bad do you want of his life? And he's willing to give you exactly what you needed. But come in the right way. And he will come in your life. Amen. And fully change you. Praise the Lord Jesus. Anybody have a need tonight? We're more than glad to pray with you. Let's the musicians come. Let's sing a song. Why don't we just sing in the presence of Jehovah? I guess we can try key of F, sister. Or C? Okay. Amen. God is more than able. Amen. Coming in that name.
In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish.
Desire, just sing it unto him one more time now. Just tell him,
through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow. As I lift my hands to worship and to magnify thy name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Flow through Spirit, flow through me, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me, as I lift my hands to worship. Thy name, Lord. through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me, as I lift my hands to worship.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. We trust that you, that your desire, amen. Let him just not flow once through you, but constant flowing. Amen. All minds, hearts clear. Amen. We'll be praying for Brother Curtis and Sister Duena as they're heading. I guess you guys would be leaving today or tomorrow. Yeah, so you all be safe. Enjoy the hiking, brother. Praise God. Amen. Well, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Just continue to pray for one another, especially in these times. Amen. Uncertain times, just keep one another in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, once again for your love and your word. We ask that you would just help us, Lord, to take these things to heart, Lord God, and let us draw closer to you, Father God. And Lord, you told us, Father, to draw, Lord God, and to draw boldly, Father God, into your presence, Lord. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that all condemnation, all anything that would hinder us, Father, from drawing closer to you, Lord God, let us just lay it aside, Lord, because you've already opened up the way for us. And now, Lord God, it's just time for us to step on in, Lord God, and receive the blessings, Lord, that you so desire for us to have, Lord. It's, Father, our own fault, Father, that we don't grow in you. It's not your fault. And we pray, Lord, that you would just help us to be mindful. Be mindful of your word and mindful of the power in your name. And we ask that you would just continue to bless, be with each every need here. Bless Brother Curtis and Sister Doyna as they're heading out and about, Lord, traveling back, Lord. May you protect them, watch over them. Keep them safe on the roads, Lord. And we just commit them into your hands. Commit ourselves into you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Holy Spirit, flow.